Okay. So today, being that it's a Seder Tumei Tshuva, I promise to guarantee you the way to beat the Yetzer Hara, which is really not that big of a promise, because...
Considering the fact there's a lot of it on the table.
A lot of Yetzer Hara. This is not Yetzer Hara. This is Yetzer HaTov. Raisins and nuts?
Not what I'm eating.
These are easy
the opportunities
well.
To make
How did you get that?
I took it before Dina took it away.
It's okay, I'm fine.
You what?
But it isn't such a brazen claim of how to beat the Yetzer Hara. Because all I'm doing is telling you exactly what the Gemara says. Gemara says, you want to beat the Yetzer Hara? I'll tell you exactly how. So let's read the piece together. And then it's going to be a little bit of a discussion. And that we're going to have obviously a discussion. Some discussion about what exactly it means and the choice of the words of the Gemara. And then, of course, if you want, we're going to see a bunch of different opinions about how to achieve what the Gemara says. Okay? And then we'll end with Rav Cook. And then a beautiful thought. That Rav Greenberg, I saw Yossi Saban has this book, this partial book from Rav Greenberg. So he shares two beautiful thoughts. One very powerful thought about the Yetzer Hara from a Futner Zatzal. Futner was the Rosh Hashiva, Yeshiva Chaim Berlin. Okay, so remind me, we're not going to end without reading the piece from Rav Futner at the end. It's really, really important. Amar Rav Levi Bar Chama, Amar Rav Shimon Ben Lakish, Le'olam Yargiz Adam Yetzer HaTov Al Yetzer Hara. Shine Amar, Rigzu ve'al techetahu. This is difficult to translate. The olam, a person should always yargiz, instigate, incite his yetzer hatov against his yetzer hara. Shneamar, as it's written, rigzu ve'al techetahu. Okay, you say instigate. Rashi disagrees with you. Why does Rashi disagree with you? If you look at Rashi, you see the Rashi on the inside. It says Rashi, yargiz yetzer tov, shi'aseh milchama. Im Yetzer Hara. Because it says, Rigzu ve'al techetau. Im Litzcho Mutav. If he beats him, if he wins, if the Yetzer Hara beats the Yetzer Hato, the other way around. If the Yetzer Hato beats the Yetzer Hara in the battle, great. Ve'im Lav, and if not, Ya'asok v'Torah. Study Torah. Shana Amar, as it says, Imru Bilavavchem. Im Nitzcho, if he wins, Mutav. Great. Im Lav, Yikra Kriyat Shema. Say Shema. Shneamar Al Mishkavchem. As it says, on your beds. Im Nitzcho, Mutav. If you win, great. Im Lav, Yaskilo Yom Hamita. Just remember that pretty soon you're going to die. Shneamar, as it says, Vidomu Sela. Okay? It's a four-prong attack against the Yetzer Hara. First level of attack, use your Yetzer HaTov to overcome, to attack the Yetzer Hara. Great. If that works, terrific. If not, Torah. If that works, terrific. If not, Kriyat Shema. If that works, great. And if not, just remind yourself you're going to die soon and it's not worth it anyway. Okay? What we want to talk about today are a few things, but the first thing I want to talk about, at least in some detail, is... Well, first of all, you should just know that it's all based on this pasuk that you're familiar with, and you might be familiar with in Tehillim. Okay? I'm going to read you the parak. We're going to read four psukim. Really, five psukim. Okay? Because it's all based on one pasuk. This whole thing is based on this one pasuk. The pasuk is... Rigzu ve'al techeta'u imu bilvavchem amishkavchem. That's the whole pasuk. The Gemara is saying we're learning four things from it. Rigzu ve'al techetau. Okay, rigzu somehow fight, do not sin. Imu bilvavchem al mishkavchem. Imu bilvavchem means learn Torah. Al mishkavchem means when you lay down, i.e., say Shema. V'domu sela, be silent forever. Okay, so just so you should know, it's worthwhile to point out that Chazal, when they interpreted Psukim, they interpreted them entirely out of context. Meaning, you see a Pasuk, and you say to yourself, well, what was David HaMelech really trying to say? Is it really trying to say that David HaMelech was saying, let me give you four ways of fighting your Yetzer Hara? Let's see what he's talking about. L'maser b'niginot mizmor l'David. Mizmor, a praise to David. That's a long walk just to get back there.
The fence.
There's no gate.
There's a ladder.
Put a pin.
Oh, yeah.
Bikari, when I call out to you, God, Aneni elevate Sidki, Batsar hirchavtali. In my anguish, hirchavtali. You have expanded yourself to me. Chaneni ushma tvilati. Okay, you should hear my, you know, Chaneni, have compassion on me, right? Chaneni. And hear my prayer. Bnei ish, people, adme kvodi lichlima te'ehavun rik. They love seeing me embarrassed. Why was David HaMelech embarrassed? Right? Why did people see his downfall? Tivakshu chazav sela. And they seek chazav. Falsehoods or negativity. Udi'u, and know, ki hipla Hashem chasid lo. God has brought about the downfall of one who is a chasid to him. Okay. God has brought about the downfall of one who is a chasid. Remember who called himself a chasid last week? David HaMelech. Hashem yishma b'kari elo. What was David HaMelech's downfall? Do you guys remember what David HaMelech's big downfall was? Anyone? Right? Right. So when David, imagine, how shall we say this? Well, Habdil a million Elif Abdullah, when the former president of the United States, how should we say this? Erred in the Oval Office. Okay? This presented itself a golden opportunity for people around him to glum on and to attack and try to destroy him. Correct?
Okay.
Right, makes sense. So if you think David HaMelech enjoyed universal popularity, you are naive. So what is David HaMelech saying? Right? Bnei ish adma kvodi lichlima te'ahavun rik. They loved embarrassing me. I mean, everybody knew what happened. It turned out everybody knew. You know what I'm saying? It was embarrassing. Okay? Udu'u nu, no, ki hipla Hashem chasid lo. But Hashem brought down someone who was righteous to him. Meaning, my Yitzhar got the best of me. Here's what he says. This is then according to the Patricia of the Malbim. Rigzu ve'al techeto. Right? You guys rigzu, right? Ve'al techeto. You be mirages, incite, be incited, and don't sin. Imu bilvavchem al mishkavchem. Meaning, what's in your hearts when you lay down? I.e., what happens when we lay down? What kind of sin are we engaging in when we lay down? Right, that's what Mabim says. It's regarding sexuality. Okay? Imu bilavavchem, you in your hearts know. Vedomusela. Yeah, what is Vedomusela? What does dom mean? Stop. Or, be quiet. You guys shut up. Meaning, everybody now loves to judge me because my dirty laundry was aired in public. But if everybody knew what your sin was, then maybe you wouldn't be laughing so loudly. Right? That's in the context. What Chazal did is they took this... Everybody following me? You following me?
It's not in context with the rest of Tehillim. You don't see
why?
It in other places in Tehillim that David lashes out at people. Even when he's trying to protect himself from Shaul in most of the Tehillim, he's not overtly confrontational.
Never?
Not that I can recall.
That's a broad... Who's he talking to?
I'm not debating the pasuk. I'm just saying it seems out of character for the rest of Tehillim.
I am not equipped to answer that question. Okay.
Let's put it differently. It doesn't fit with our perception.
Yeah, but I mean, a lot of our perceptions are not necessarily, you know. In tune with what David HaMelech wrote, we'll put it that way. Yeah.
Didn't we say in Yagadata last week that David HaMelech was embarrassed by his teacher, by his rabbi?
Ah, Mephibosheth embarrassed him in Psak.
Right. Maybe, you sure it's not referring to that?
That's not what the Bible says. Okay? Fine.
His real name is something different.
Anyway. But Chazal takes this pasuk, and they read it completely out of context. Imrizu, Rigzu. So Rashi here says, Rigzu, I'm meaning Rashi. Rigzu is very strange.
Not
Right.
The way to avoid the Yetzer Hara is not to get angry. I mean, it's the Ramban's letter to Sankasa.
Right, to avoid the class at all costs.
Wrong is it's like a bad thing.
So what he says, the question we're going to struggle with is...
But you can also translate it differently. There's a different pasuk of Barigzu that feel up for Rosh Hashanah.
Which is?
Rachavim l'rogez, and rogez in that case is anger.
Okay. So what does it mean? Rigzu? Good. Ve'al techle ta'u.
You can get angry, but don't allow that to get you to action.
But we're reading the pasuk in a vacuum. You understand? So what's it trying to say? It says Rashi. Rigzu. Rashi translates it as... Chardu milifnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. What is chardu? You familiar with that word? You ever heard of people called the Charedim? What do the people? What do the Charedim do? Anybody know?
They tremble.
They tremble before God. Familiar with the film of the same name? Okay.
We won't go there.
Yeah, we won't go there. Okay, but that's what Rashi translates as chardu. If you tremble, then ve'al techetel. What's the problem with Rashi's interpretation? Wake up.
That's not contextual.
Forget contextual. He's reading the whole pasuk out of context. What's the problem with saying Rigzu means Chardu? The problem is... Yes, Kevin? You don't know? That's not what it means. It's not the meaning of the word.
Well, you're right.
Right? No, okay. How do we say? What do we say? Al tefen la na yeser. Whatever the rogues. Rogues somewhere, right? Rogues is anger.
Yeah.
Okay. So to say here, Rashi on the Tehillim says Rigzu means chardu. Okay. Right. Ve'al techato. So here comes the Gemara and says, what is Rigzu? What does Rigzu mean? La'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov al yetzer hara. What does that mean? Doesn't mean tremble now. So he's reading it. You have to read it another way. Right, Rashi? Si yaseh milchama in Yetzer Hara. Why does the Gemara, what does the Gemara mean when it says you should get your Yetzer HaTov to attack and do war against your Yetzer Hara? Why do I need my Yetzer HaTov to fight my Yetzer Hara?
Well, who else is going to fight your Yetzer Hara?
If you were going to read the pasuk, and you were going to say, "What? How would you describe it?" Olam yargiz adam yetzer tov al yetzer ra. What does that sound like? What I wanted to ask you is, what does it sound like that means?
Sounds like it would be a quote from Rish Lakish.
What does the words mean? It is a quote from Rish Lakish.
No, the reason for why is because Rish Lakish was the type of person who was able to overcome his yetzer hara because of being mafiel his yetzer tov.
Explain.
In particular.
Explain.
He was the person who was basically he never overcame his Yetzer Hara until Rav, his Chavrusa.
Well, right, when they told the story, jumping over the lake, he's so strong, whatever, you're so beautiful.
He says basically, you know, you have all this negative energy. If you only use that for good, you would have been the greatest scholar of his time, and he became the Chavrusa of Rish Lakish.
All right, Kevin is already answering our question. Meaning, what are you saying? What does it mean, Yargiz, Yetzer, Adam, Yetzer, Tov, Al, Yetzer, Hara? It
would be the polar opposite of...
What he's saying is, this, I'm just going to say it again. What he's saying is, a person has a certain... This is what you're saying, I think, right? You tell me if that's what you're saying. A person has a certain inclination, a certain koach. Mm-hmm. Okay? Right? And you love rugby. Okay, so some people who love rugby can use their...
To keep it getting personal, we'll call it rugby.
Rugby. Some people call it football. They don't call it football. Baseball is not baseball, is it? Not rugby. What was I thinking of? Cricket. Hey, you love cricket. I'm just saying.
We don't want to get rugby personal.
Rugby is fine. He strikes me as a rugby player. Okay.
Okay, sorry.
So, you could either... I don't know, get involved in it to such a degree, you're betting on the games, and you ignore your family, or whatever. Or you use it as a force to remain healthy, and you know what I'm saying? And, I don't know, maybe play for your country in unknown tournaments that nobody's ever heard of.
Is he
and
using,
on Facebook, yeah, I'm sorry.
Is he using Rogas as a negative thing?
Oh, come on.
Is he using it as a negative connotation? No.
No, he's using it as a positive connotation.
Sarogas isn't negative or positive. He's just saying it's a force.
Which is why I'm struggling with it. Yargiz Adam Yetzer Tova Yetzer Hara. The formulation, what Kempner is trying to say somehow, I think, is use your koach of Ra for good.
He's not saying it's Ra. Yargiz Adam Yetzer Tov Al Yetzer Hara. Use this force of Yetzer Tov on Yetzer Hara.
How does that work? What does that mean to incite your Yetzer HaTov to beat your Yetzer Hara? How do you
do that? Don't let it be dormant.
What?
Don't let it just sleep away. You're angry about something. Something's bothering you, Nachon.
Let's take our favorite Yetzer Hara. I would like to waste the next hour clicking away on the internet. What Yetzer HaTov am I supposed to use? And I'm serious about this. I'm still struggling with this. What Yetzer HaTov?
But he's not telling you
to overcome that Yetzer Hara.
He's not telling you to take your Yetzer HaTov. He's telling you to
Wait, one at a time.
It's a Yetzer HaTov Shulcha.
What does that
mean?
The
Yetzer HaTov is there.
Yeah.
But it's not merugas.
I have to
activate it.
Ah, the word the ragez means?
To be active.
Incite.
I guess so.
You were saying?
No, it's the same idea, but you asked.
What's the difference
practical
between...
Practical demonstration.
Yeah.
So
I want to surf the web now, for next hour.
Instead of surfing CNN, surf OU.
Really? So that's the answer? That's how you see it?
No.
No, I think he's saying not that way. He's saying no. Surfing the web is a waste of time.
No. So
you should use your Yetzer HaTov to stop doing that.
Go stop going surfing. Go learn.
So what's the difference between? Well, isn't that my Yetzer HaTov in and of itself? How does it mean to incite my Yetzer HaTov in order so that he will overcome my Yetzer Hara? Or it's just a play on words.
We all know what's the right thing to do. We're just too lazy to do it.
Yeah.
So what he's saying, just beat it. When something bothers you enough, you get angry about it. Tell me to guess.
Okay.
You're
saying it's beat it. I don't think it's beat it. Because if beating it is, meaning, what do you do with your Yetzer Hara? Like, we all have this Yetzer Hara. We have this desire to engage in certain behaviors. I'm angry or whatever. You know what I'm saying? The things that all of us struggle with. It's nice of you to say, well, just beat it. Okay? But he's giving me two other suggestions. If A doesn't work, then go to B. What is B?
Learn
Torah. So what's that? To me, when it says learn Torah, you know what learn Torah means? That sounds to me like that's beat it. Right, exactly. That's beat it.
No.
Yes?
No. That's right away.
What's the difference between beating it and running away? That's my question.
You're not trying to get rid of it.
Good. This is a great discussion. When I'm supposed to beat it, that means instead of ignoring it, or instead of hiding it, or instead of pushing it aside, I'm supposed to confront my Yetzer Hara. That just seems like Yargiz Adam Milchama im Yetzer Hara. How am I supposed to do that? What does that mean? So, okay, I have this, whatever. Pick whatever you want. I like cheeseburgers. Whenever I go overseas, I just have this desire for a cheeseburger. So I could say, no. Right? Learn Torah. Okay? I bring myself a Shulchan Aruch every time I go on the road because I know that I'm going
to
pull out my Mishnah Berurah.
Why is this not psychologically? Like, it reminds me of the stupid films. You know, you have one, you know, the good guy on one side and the voices.
Sure, I love those guys. Right?
Right. So, normally, the good guy is relatively silent, and the other one is trying to manipulate, and he's talking, and eventually he overtalks everybody else, and you end up doing the wrong thing.
Right.
So it's somehow inciting it. It's telling you, good guy, you've got to fight back. You can't just be silent. You can't just sit there. I'm surprised if he went, wake up. You know, that would have been a terminology I would have understood better. But somehow
I agree with Ari.
Right?
I agree with Ari that the second one, learning Torah, what's learning Torah? Yasuk Batorah means hide from this guy. Get away. Goodbye. I don't want to talk to you.
So how do you want to confront
him? So what does it mean to... That's what I'm asking you. What does it mean to confront
him? It's not run away because it will come back. You've got to beat it so it actually... You destroy it again.
You can't. What I mean is, it sounds to me that the first option is It's an idea of confronting in a way that doesn't deny it and doesn't try to sweep it aside.
So what is that?
Right. So I'm going to give you a few pshatim, but it's not a simple thing. Meaning, the second one is easier for us to understand. Go learn Torah, or it's Kriyat Shema. Kriyat is like 2A and 2B, right? Go learn Torah. Why? Because under the Torah, I engage in like spirituality, I engage in my frumkeit, and I don't, like, okay, who wants cheeseburgers when I'm learning Torah? Come on, really? Like, if you're in the middle of the airport and you're learning, you could somehow, you find a way, you're able to put yourself, your priorities in a better place. Like, what's the third one? The last one? You have 2A, 2B. Third one? Vidomu Sela. Meaning? Right? Yom Hamita.
Be scared.
What's that?
Be scared. You're too scared to act. On
right, be scared. Meaning, you're going to die. You really? Is it worth, like, what are the ramifications of this cheeseburger in this world and the next world? Right? Is it really worth everything that you really want this cheeseburger now? No?
So the last three make sense, but the first one...
The first one is much harder. Correct. So we're going to learn a couple of parshanim. Look at the one called Chidushe Geonim. See the bottom left-hand corner, the end of the bottom, the left-hand of the second column. Okay? Le'olam yargiz yetzer hatov al yetzer hara. I'azil mutav. He says the following. V'hine, you see where I am? Chidushe Geonim?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But the bottom line. V'hine, lashon hargaza kashe. Turn the page. Kashe. The language of hargaza is difficult. V'od... Why do you have all these answers? And you just say, simply, and a person's going to sin, he should remind himself, like there's a Mishnah that says, Da me'ayin bata, la'anata holech. Me'ayin bata, miti pasrucha. La'anata holech, but that's the Mishnah. The Mishnah just says, right? Remember, you were nothing and you will be nothing. So really, is it worth a cheeseburger? Come on. So he says, why is he giving, who needs all these crazy answers? There's a very simple answer, and what do you need more than that? We're going to see a few different pshatim. Their intention is the following. Alderech sha'amru, as Chazal said, Al yomar adam I efshi bebasar chazir, ela efshi, uma e'ese. Meaning a person, when he looks at a cheeseburger, he has two options. He can say, oh, cheeseburger, fe, it's disgusting. Or he can say, cheeseburger, if billions of people around the world like it, looks pretty good. Seems kind of tasty. But, God said not. V'zeh inyan ha-hargaza. This is what it means to be margiz, to incite. Shebebo avera liyado. When the option of a sin comes up, yireh p'nei ha-tov shebetocha, he should see the good in it. V'yidacheu b'gzeirat Hashem yidbarach. And he should push it off because this is the will of God. V'zehu ha'har gaza. And by the way, this is a really dangerous piece of advice. Because what he's suggesting to you is...
not replacing anything with anything.
What do you mean? Of course. Instead of saying, you know, like Yom Amita is like you're taking away all the ta'ava. Why? Because when you think about dying, right, you know, morbidity has the power to, like, say, you know, I'm really not hungry right now. I'm not so hungry anymore. No?
Right. Just as easily flip it and say, enjoy the life while you've got it and whatever else. You don't have
the idea,
to think of purity at the end. You
clearly their idea of Yom Hamita is that you believe.
Obviously, that's the given, but it's just as flippant as live your life now because you're going to die. It doesn't necessarily mean live this holy pure life because you're going
to
die.
Right, I agree with you. If you think that because you're going to die means and nothing is after that, then that wouldn't work. Right, but you're talking about a person who does believe in and who is trying to battle his Yetzer Hara. Okay? So you think, when I'm dead, am I really going to be happy that I ate this cheeseburger?
Why is it the fourth one? Why do you need it as the last one? All of them before, he should have been strong enough.
He said the first one is the best one. He said the last one is the best one.
Right.
Should be number one. So what he's saying actually is, this is a strategy. That one of the strategies is to not to deny the pleasure of the thing that you desire. Not to say, oh, it's probably not so good. No. Oh, it's got to be awesome. That cheeseburger looks terrific.
Doesn't say not to deny.
Right. No, he said...
Don't lie to yourself and
tasty. It is tasty. But you're still not allowed to
do it. Correct. But you don't think that's you don't think that's a level, there's a level of danger into like it's into
it's
like
quite funny that actually Kuwait didn't do exactly the opposite
of what. Yeah, exactly. What do?
They isolate themselves.
Correct.
So they're not going in it.
I agree with you, but that's exactly the point. The other way is very dangerous. Because as soon as you...
The whole use of the word Kuwait in
the European... It's interesting. As soon as you entertain the possibility, the idea that, well, that sin is really... What's the guarantee? What's the guarantee that you're going to say? That you're really going to say, but I'm not going to do it, because that's what God wants me to do. It's much, much, much more dangerous. But he feel, but the Gemara feels. At least the way the these chiddushim going in this paper says, that's the ideal form of worship. Because if you're not doing it, because well, if you deny it, if you don't eat the cheeseburger because you've never seen a cheeseburger in your life. Then you're not doing it because it's God's will, necessarily. You're doing it because you created a culture in which you're able to follow God's will to do it to the next degree.
Why can't you say, I don't care if it's good or bad, I'm doing it because Hashem said, I'm not doing it because Hashem says. Why do I have to justify that actually it really is good and I'm still not doing it? The idea of Yirat Hashem is, it doesn't matter what the reason. I'm doing it because God told me not to. I'm not doing it.
That's good. Next, what's the higher level of Avoda?
Abba.
Correct. Ahavat Hashem means?
Yeah.
Ahavat Hashem means, what's that? Ahavat Hashem, of course it is.
Ahavat Hashem.
Ahavat Hashem means I love God.
For me. I understand it's good for me and I love, and I want to be close to Hashem.
Correct.
That's not what this is.
What? Yes, it is.
No, it's
yes,
not.
Because if you...
And the last, which is the most, is death. Okay, which is the real year after Hashem. Because you get sometime you're going to die, and somebody's going to take
you. So that's my point exactly. Number one, you got 1, 2, A, 2, B, and C, and 3, right? But number one is to say that I'm doing it not because I'm afraid of the punishment, not because of death, but I'm also not doing it because I'm trying to push away the Yetzer Hara. I'm doing it because even though the Yetzer Hara is there, and it's powerful, God told me not to do it. And I want to do what God wants me to do. No matter what I want to do, I put my desire aside
for the
desire of God.
That's not what Abba is.
What?
That's not what Abba is. Abba is my desire is to be close to Hashem, to do what Hashem wants.
Exactly. That's exactly what Abba is. You have a physical desire. You really would like to watch that movie. You really want to. But you choose not to because God doesn't want you to do it. You can't deny that desire. If you deny the desire, you say, I don't have the desire. I don't watch a movie. That's fine.
I accept that.
Okay.
Ahava.
What?
Ahava would say, actually, I prefer Hashem over the movie.
That's exactly what you're saying. I agree.
No, the reason
what you're doing is saying exactly that by saying, I want that movie. I want that cheeseburger. But I want God more.
That's a different... I agree with that.
That's Ahava.
I didn't see that from you.
That's exactly what you said.
I didn't see that from Ragiz. I didn't see that.
That's how he's reading. Yargiz Yetzer HaTov al Yetzer Hara. Don't deny the Yetzer Hara. Appreciate the Yetzer Hara is there and make the choice anyway. Your Yetzer HaTov is overwhelming the Yetzer Hara that's still there. It's not denying it. I think that Hagdara is beautiful because then it becomes a choice of Ahavat Hashem versus a choice of Yira or denying or whatever you want to say. You with me?
Accepting that he hasn't addressed the replacing something with nothing.
What do you mean?
Surf the web or learn Torah. The one's good, the one's bad. Or surf the web or don't surf the web.
Right.
You still got the power.
Let's leave Bittelsman aside. Surf the web, you know what I'm saying? Surf for you, like he said. You know what I'm saying? Let's leave Bittelsman aside. Let's continue. Let's put on the cheeseburger. Okay, cheeseburger or not cheeseburger? Cheeseburger, cheeseburger, cheeseburger. Nobody ever saw that? Very famous out of the web scan. Okay.
Yeah, I mean, that's easier to relate to.
You know what I'm saying? We're talking about... That's one explanation. Okay, we're getting... Everyone understand?
But that's shit. Everything you do, you want to do it because it's God's will and it's a much greater way of
if we allowed I tell you if we allowed ourselves to try except for very unique people if we allowed ourselves to confront the desire within ourselves every time and say, no, wow, this would be really good if I did that. No, but God doesn't want me to do it. The average person would not be able to sustain such a thing on an ongoing basis. That's a very high level. A person who's able to make that choice, despite the awareness of the tangible benefit, of the physical benefit. Cheeseburgers are good. It's right there. No one's watching you. There's no embarrassment. You're in the middle of Bangladesh airport. You know what I'm saying? Why not? Why not? Because the Ribbono Shel Olam is there and doesn't want you to do it. Great. That's wonderful. But, you know, not everybody would be able to withstand that kind of pressure all the time.
Dead missing.
What?
Pasted cheeseburger. It might not be so good.
Exactly. Shot number one. Yes.
I'm talking about the building descending stages of idealness of tshuva.
Torah
basically says, stand up to your tablet. The next one is, you can't stand up to your tablet.
What does that mean, Bill? You have to define what it means. What does it mean, stand up to your tablet?
Stand up to your tablet in such a way that you recognize that you have your tablet, and you can overcome them for the good.
No.
The next one is
that how you can overcome them. I mean, the way he said it.
He's saying is you have the spiritual power to overcome them.
Right.
For love of Hashem, or because you realize it's the right thing to do, and you get a higher spiritual power because of it. The next one is you can't do that, right?
Right.
So therefore, you have to abscond from, or just depart and leave your Yetzer Hara and go study Torah because it'll take you away from your Yetzer Hara.
Right.
The next one is start feeding your animalistic pleasures by saying you're doing Kriyat Shema, and because if you follow
how's Kriyat Shema animalistic pleasures?
Because if you follow the mitzvot, then Hashem promises to Tirosh, Yitzhar, Dagan, and all the things.
Right? I never saw that, but okay, very nice.
And then the last one is that if all that fails, then the most base physical desire is to stay alive.
Uh-huh.
And that's what you're feeding, so it's descending levels of tshuva.
Right.
That's basically what he's going for.
Correct.
Highest level of tshuva would be...
The ideal highest level, agreed. Now look at
it's not even tshuva, it's getting close to Kadosh
Baruch. Right, we're not about tshuva, we're talking about making right choices. Look at the Iyun Yaakov, right below it. Right below it, on page 37. Lo'olam yargiz adam yetzer tov yetzer hara. Okay. B'tevad lo'olam, afshar da'ati la'afuki mimar dam Rav Yochanan v'yom adaf la'melchet, there was a statement in Yuma that says, once a person has lived most of his life and not sinned, he's like, he's okay. So along comes Yitzchak and says, no. Lo'olam forever, not true. Kamashmalan teaches you, Sha'af al pikein al yamin v'atzmao ad yom moto. Never trust yourself. Never, never. Now he says, okay. V'keisad ya'aseh, shi'argiz yetzer tov yetzer hara. What does it mean? So remember, we saw the last page which the Gaonim said, it meant that you encourage your Yetzer Hara, but overcome it anyway. Here he says, no. Hainu b'mas yaseh siyag v'gader le'atzmo mishmeret l'mishmeret v'kadesh atzmo b'mutar lo. What does he say? Exactly the opposite.
From the same words.
What?
From the same words.
From exactly the same words. He says, what are you, nuts? Glory in the possible pleasure of the Yetzer Hara and then like overcome it? No way. He says you should make a gader, a fence. An offense to offense. A mishmeret to mishmeret. Le kadesh atzmo b'mutar lo. To sanctify yourself and that which is mutar to yourself. Why would you want to confront the Yetzer Hara? Go build yourself a yeshuv where you're only going to get kosher food. Who in the world would want to go live in a place where you have the opportunity to go buy a cheeseburger? Why would you want to have that time for that Yetzer Hara? So yargiz Yetzer HaTov al Yetzer Hara means, means it exactly the opposite. You encourage yourself only in Yetzer HaTov, and that way you don't have the opportunity to have Yetzer Hara.
How's that beating it, though?
Well, it's beating it wonderfully. Why?
Beating it in logistical terms, not beat, because you're still going to need you. There's still the Gedek. It's not going to be everywhere in the entire world.
Sure it is.
And how does he...
One second. If you live... Don't you think people who live a certain kind of life, they try to create as much as possible fences between themselves and possible sin? To the point that, if I have to, I'll put up a personal little cubicle on my airplane seat. So I don't have to see things I don't want to see. Isn't that, that's exactly that. It might not be the lifestyle you choose.
No, they still walk having to look at the ground and saying that whatever, it's still, it's not. There's no way of walking with your shower curtain attached to your head until you get to your destination.
Why
it's,
not?
It's physically impossible.
Plenty of people try. They try to live in places where they don't, they try not to go to places.
So you're not actually eating anything.
What, why not?
You're doing something to prevent the thing getting to you.
Right.
That's not beating it.
Well, a second. Let's read the words again. Yargiz Adam to incite the Yetzer HaTov al Yetzer Hara. Incite the Yetzer HaTov over the Yetzer Hara. Meaning, the way they're reading it, is, I think it's a very interesting reading. If all you have to do is confront your Yetzer HaTov, great! You never have the Yetzer Hara. Why would you want to create situations where you need to fight with your Yetzer Hara? There's plenty of them as it is.
Brilliant.
You like that?
Simple.
Yeah, very much simpler. I don't really like it. I don't find it so compelling.
Because you've chosen not to live that way, but, I mean, if you choose to live that way, it's definitely an easy way of a problem.
So my problem,
yeah, and then, by the way, step two is if that doesn't work and you're out in the world, go learn Torah. Yeah. And if that doesn't work and you can't, just say Shema. You know what I'm saying? It'll protect you.
You think it works? You think that progression works?
Sure, for some people. Of
course. No, you think that that's a greater level just to isolate yourself than to learn Torah?
What do you mean? Do I think that it's a higher level if one isolates himself? Yeah. Don't make it worse. Do I think it's a higher level of service, of religiosity? I think what's fascinating...
It's not higher or less higher.
You think you respect Hashem more because you've isolated yourself?
Of course.
From the desires of the world?
It's got nothing to do with...
No, as opposed to reading Torah and understanding the beauty of the world and why, you know, and not needing that cheeseburger because you understand... Torah, the greatness of the world and the way Hashem built it and how to get close. Instead, I'm going to isolate myself in that time.
You know, it would be nice to say that were so. But in reality, we know that the person who confronts his Yetzer Hara all the time also succumbs to it. So you can't say, like, in the ideal world, maybe it would be best for a person to always confront his Yetzer Hara, but always beat his Yetzer Hara. By the way, we started with David and Bathsheba. Do you know how the Gemara says that whole thing started? That David said, you know, God, I think I've got this down. I think I've got the whole Yetzer Hara thing down. And Kosh Baruch said, really? Let's see.
Try this.
Didn't go so well. That's what the Gemara says. Okay? So what's fascinating is, in the same parsha, in the same section, on the exact same words, two mefarshim will say exactly, diametrically opposite things, based on probably their worldview.
For me, Rakiz has some kind of frustration, not pure anger. This trembling and shaking is some kind of frustrating, and you frustrate you annoy.
That's Rashi here translated
like
as trembling.
To the Yetzer Hara. You don't just walk away from it or hide from it.
Why not?
Why
is it best to fight all the time? Why is it best to fight all the time? Why do you have to fight all the time? You don't need to fight. Sometimes the best fight...
That's what Doma Sia
isn't means. Sometimes the best fight to avoiding fight? Really? I mean, don't we do that all the time?
That's not what
Rashi
means.
Right? What?
This doesn't seem to be what
Rashi
means.
You remember Rageez Yetzer Tov. That's what he said. That's what the Gemara says. Rigzu doesn't mean fight. It means Rigzu ve'al techetau. Bimarak is your Yetzer Tov. That's a like Rav Kook. Page 39. What is your Yetzer Hara? This is actually a longer discussion that requires elucidation.
I just remind you to read something.
Oh, that's after this. What is your Yetzer Hara? You can't skip it.
Still got for an hour to talk marriage?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, come next week.
I want to make you. Yeah, I want to make you a man. Look like a man. I want to do this next week.
Yeah, next week.
What is your Yetzer Hara? So, by the way, this debate is a deeper philosophical debate. Yetzer Hara is essentially the desire, the physical. Remember, now we're going to get back to Derech Hashem a little bit. Sorry, you don't have to fall asleep right away. All right, your Yetzer Hara is the physical aspect within you that creates desire, worldly desires that we have, to physical sustenance, sexual desire, things of that nature. I.e., we all believe that to some degree, like we, as we all know, man was created as a combination of two opposites. This is like the whole Derech Hashem thing. God took what's essentially a spiritual being, and he shipped it into this animal. Okay? And essentially, you're engaged in this endless struggle between your desire, your spiritual desire to reach eternal heights, to reach higher and higher, on the one hand, and your animalistic desire to perpetuate, to survive. And you'll do whatever you need to do those things. And those things are, they're fighting all the time. Spirituality wants to be spiritual, and physicality wants to be physical. Is physicality good or bad? Then your Yetzer Hara says to you, you're hungry, eat. Looks good, looks tasty, eat it. Right? She's pretty, go for it. And your spirituality says, the Ribono Shel Olam says, no. You have a higher desire. Is your Yetzer Hara bad or good?
Yeah, of course, that's how you use these things.
Ah. Says Rav Kook the following. HaKochot Shebe'adam. The forces, I'm on page 39, I'm not going to go think about it, in a person, HaTovim Ba'ra'im, good or bad, Tachlitam Mihishtamesh Behem B'derech HaTova. Their ideal, right here, their ideal is to use them in a positive way. Alkein, Kochot HaRa'im Shemitzana Yetzer Hara. The negative forces on the Yetzer Hara, ein ze etza tova lahachlisham ulema'atam. It's not a good idea to weaken them or to diminish them. Ki lifamim yu nitzrachim letachlit tova v'lo yuchal lehenot mituvatam. Sometimes you're going to need your physical Yetzer, and you won't be able to use it if you diminish it. Al kein, therefore, hatov shabedrachotu. You should be at your full positive strength. What's meaning? You're at your height of your physical power, your physical prowess, your ability, your desires. But who's in control? The Yetzer HaTov is in control. It's not that you're essentially, you know, You're diminishing your kochot, your physicality, but rather you're enhancing it, but you're controlling it. And then, right, obviously, ki be'emet gam ha'ra'im tovim heima b'shamram et gvulam. The bad kochot, as it were, hunger, desire, sexuality, etc., etc., those are good kochot if you harness them in the right way. That's the essence of what Rav Kook is essentially trying to say. V'mitzad teva adam, ha'kochot ha'ra'im, these natural desires, these negative desires, emanurim u'muchanim, the pu'ula yoter me'akochot ha'tovim, they're awakened more than the good forces. Okay, therefore, yagiz adam yetzer ha'tov, le'orei ha'kochot ha'tovim, shu'muchanim le'pu'ula u'shlitim ha'kochot ha'ra'im. So you should awaken, you should incite your yetzer ha'tov to be in charge of this yetzer hara.
He hasn't told us how to do that yet.
No, he's not going to tell you. Okay?
So he's told you, like...
No, that's what he says. He does say it. Because the yitachen ba'adam, this works for a person, shahargesh hamusari yafebo. He's essentially an ethical, a Torah ethical person. Umargish me'atzmo kol adrachim etovim. And he understands and he feels these positive forces within him. Meaning, a person who is spiritually attuned... See, remember, Rav Kook's whole vision, it was, the problem is like this. The person who overcomes his Yetzer Hara and diminishes his Yetzer Hara and pushes it down and tries to beat it back, what does that person look like?
Frail.
What?
Frail.
Why?
Never ending battle.
What?
Never ending battle.
But he's beating down his goof. He's, of course he's going to be frail. He's like, you're not going to engage in physical play. You don't want to eat. You don't want to exercise. You don't want to, you know what I'm saying? Because... these are things you have to overcome. What's the holiest day of the year? Yom Kippur. What do we do on Yom Kippur? Anything. We stay in shul all day. So a really holy, special person will try to bring Yom Kippur into his life as much as possible, correct? Do you really want to be holy? Fast all the time. Come on, think about the tzaddikim fasting all the time. Do you really think it's one day a year? And they're even. Okay. Sorry, don't buy it. Okay, so who do we think of tzaddikim? If you, when you think of a tzaddik, do you think of this? You know, do you think of Shimshon HaGibor? Is it, you know what I'm saying? Some big brute lifts weights. You know what I'm saying? Do we think of the of this physically powerful person, strong desires? Do we think of that kind of person as a tzaddik, as the ideal?
No, think of physical, we're thinking about mental. And yes, you do.
What?
The tzaddikim, okay, have very strong mental power. They strengthen their mental power.
If you would think to yourself, who in the world, in our day, do we envision, do we imagine, in our imagination, picture a tzaddik?
David HaMelech.
You wouldn't see that. You wouldn't think of them as with physical strength. Think of them as mental strength.
Exactly.
But the fight isn't a physical strength. You're not physically fighting your Yetzirah. You're mentally fighting. And
how do you mentally fight?
You succeed, wait a second. You get stronger. It's the same as two gladiators.
I really don't
know. You don't have a whimsy. The champion gladiator who manages to beat the other guy isn't a flimsy little guy. That's his physical strength. He's been fighting
if your mental strength overwhelms and beats down your physical strength, is what you're saying. That's the battle. It's an ongoing battle. What kind of person is this?
Don't spend time concentrating on your physical.
Exactly. That's what you're saying. Don't spend time. That's what the approach is. That's not Rav Kook's approach. So that's not the ideal approach. Because that person isn't able to garner his physical prowess for good things. You said David HaMelech. David HaMelech is the ideal model that Rav Kook is looking at. He's saying, you should be strong. You should be powerful. You should have prowess. You should have desires. You should be passionate. You should have all those things, but you should be in control. And a person who's in the right state of mind, the right frame of mind, then can use all of those things for positive, for good.
Are you telling me
that's the ideal person?
Are you telling me that you don't think the Rambam was in good shape? It's possible we're in a generation.
I mean, actually, there
are a few generations.
I think the Rambam wasn't in good shape.
I think he was. I think he was a doctor. He believed in certain the way to look after your body.
Well, we don't know which. Excuse me. We don't know if the Rambam would agree or disagree with Rav Kook.
And what I'm saying is,
do you think the Rambam would have said a person should create siag?
I think we look back at a few generations of Rabbonim,
yeah,
who spent a lot of time in yeshiva, maybe physically don't look such giborim.
Yeah.
Okay. But I'm not sure that's how it used to be. I'm not sure Shmuel was such a small guy or an El.
Excuse me. Hello. Don't go back. You can't use Tanakh as an example because.
I use Tanakh. I agree, but I don't need.
That's exactly. You just went. Excuse me. Example. You skipped 2,000 years of Judaism. I'll go back. Go back a couple thousand years. If you go back to Tanakh, I think you're right. That's Rav Kook's point. What he's saying is it's gotten totally out of proportion. And I think Kevin's story. What was the story of Reish Lakish? They saw him like jumping from one side of the river to the other side of the river, right?
Yeah.
Right.
And I think you see a change now. Because
Yochanan and Reish Lakish, right.
For years, there didn't seem to be a focus on food, or what was healthy. We're now getting back to a point where what we eat, we realize what we eat affects.
See, I look at it a little differently.
I think if you look at 100 or 200 years, I mean, hopefully Mashiach will come tomorrow.
Right.
But the great Rabbonim will be in much better shape.
I look at it a little differently. So I look at it in
Did your Rosh Yeshiva go ride a bike every day?
My Rosh Yeshiva was in the army. My Rosh Yeshiva
still.
What?
After the army.
He's in pretty good shape, I must say. No. You know what I'm saying? But that's exactly my point. But, we live in a time now where I believe that great people, they need to use their spiritual and their physical prowess. You know what I'm saying? I'm waiting for the day when the Netanyahu is also went to Hezder and also was a Ram. Or, you know what I'm saying? Like we see now, we're developing these leaders in these mechinot. These are religious what's it called? Officers who use both, who use their spiritual prowess and their physical prowess in order to promote positive ideals. This is, I think, what Rav Kook is envisioning. That it's not a choice of one or the other, right? Sadly, you know. Jews, to whatever degree, either went all the way one way or all the way the other way. They said, I'm going to be physically powerful, I'm going to be the other. Rav Kook's whole point was...
It's not even physical, it's spiritual, it's more...
It was physical or spiritual. You're a physical Jew or you're a spiritual Jew, of course. Yeah, that's exactly what it was.
An intellectual giant, which is also not a physical thing. It's more like...
Right.
I don't know what the word is, tahar, kadosh, akvaz. there's not.
I agree with you. But I mean, in the Gadol, and Rav Kook's whole vision was to try to create a Jew that didn't wasn't one or the other, but really tried to mend both together. So I think what's fascinating is we have this piece of Gemara, this line, Lo lam yargiz adam yetzahara, and based on your worldview, based on the way you see sin, based on the way you see good, based on the way you see how the ideal spirituality is supposed to be, that's how you're going to interpret. You know what I'm saying? That's what's so fascinating about this Gemara.
It's different, you know, there are those that believe that you take the lowest level of physical and you raise it up to a positive. That's what we're here for. We're here to take the physical and raise it up to a spiritual level.
Ah, very good. Correct.
Who say distance yourself
from
the physical, we need to be spiritual.
No. That was A or B. That's what we learned, those two pshatim. And Rav Kook is trying to say, both. Look at page 40. Be'emet kol ha'tzedek, this is from Rav Greenberg, says Sefer. U'be'emet, he says the following. He says, U'be'emet kol ha'ta'avot, kol ha'machshavot ma'aseh ha'yetzer, no'adu le'orer et ha'adam. All the desires, all the evil thoughts are there to awaken a person. Yesh nichna'im lehem, some submit. Yesh nilchamim behem v'shovrim et yitzram. Some beat it down and overwhelm. V'yesho sim shalom imahem. Some come to peace with the Yetzirah. Moshchim et kochot hara u'mshamshim behem la'avodat Hashem. We just learned, we had a whole shiur on the three ways, right? And he said, he ties it up in a nutshell. Like, some submit, some beat it down, and some try to use it for good. Okay? Heim obdim et Hashem b'chol levavchem b'shnei Yetzirecha. To worship Hashem with your Yetzer HaTov and Yetzer HaRa. Just end off. We're about to enter Yom Kippur. So, I mean, obviously these are, it's pie in the sky, but it's really not. Personally, I think that we didn't get to the Torah part, but I think that's very strong. You know what I'm saying? It's very hard to fight, especially in the world in which we live, where Yetzer HaRa is all over the place. It's really, really hard to fight with all the time. We're not on the level of Rav Kook. I'm not on the level, and you guys might be, okay? We're of Rav Kook to say, I'm going to, you know, raise up my koach ha-yetzer ad-kidekach, then I can my yetzer ha-tov can control and direct my yetzer hara. Most people are not on that level. That learning, Torah learning has a way of purifying the soul in such a way that it focuses us. Right? You know, like we were talking about the daf. Just having that base of your day, doing that day in and day out, it just changes you. You know what I'm saying? So even when you're not learning, it changes your focus, and that's worthwhile to know. Okay, in the end, I just wanted to quote this beautiful letter from Rav, that he quotes Rav Huttner. Be'igera the Talmid. I just saw this on this week's Parsha, that Rav Greenberg's book. Sheitlonen al kishlonot v'chaser atzlacha. There was a student who complained to Rav Huttner about he just wasn't learning, wasn't successful. Katav Rav Huttner zatzal. Rav Huttner wrote the following. Zohi ra'ah chola. This is a terrible sickness. She'anu mitzatzkim b'tzdadei ha'shleimut shel Gdol Yisrael. All we talk about is how awesome the Gedolim are, how complete they are, how perfect they were. We never talk about their struggles and their stumbling. As if you think that they were born Gedolim. And the result is, a young person who has desires to greatness, who stumbles. He says, what am I doing here? All the Gedolim, they're like, you know, when they're 6 years old, they knew Shas, and then they, you know, they became Gedolim at 22. And I'm not doing anything, and I'm struggling, and I fall, and I stumble. We must educate. Right? Humanity, life, is not about, oh, everything is good, Yetzer HaTov. Ela ha-milchama shel ha-Yetzer HaTov. But it's this battle of the Yetzer HaTov. We must be aware that a person is going to stumble. To know as well. Sometimes you lose the battle, you stumble in order to win the war. A tzaddik falls down seven times, but each time gets up again. Tipshim choshvim shakavra b'derech rabuta. Sheva pa yipol tzadik v'kam. Meaning, afa pisha sheva yipol tzadik v'kom makom hukam. even though he fell down, he gets up. Aval hachamim yodim heitev, but wise people know, shakavana hi shemahut hakima shel hatzadik, to become a tzadik, how do you become a tzadik? Is the derech of sheva nefilot shelo. The stumbling is what makes him great. The struggle is what makes us great. So we're talking about the Yetzer Hara and the pie in the sky, and etc. We're about to say the Al-Khayt for all the terrible things that we did. And they're terrible things. But the Yetzer Hara, the goal in life is to struggle with the Yetzer Hara. Is to be Yargiza to Yetzer HaTov ala Yetzer Hara. Is to use the Yetzer HaTov, not to let it make you think, oh my God, I'm such a terrible person, why am I even bothering? The struggle itself is the key to greatness. That more than anything. Thank you.